Welcome to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Now, Interstate Batteries has been a proud supporter of the Sportsman's Nation since day one. And if you guys need a special battery, whether it's a regular battery or something special that's very rare and hard to find, stop by your local Interstate Battery retail location and talk with a battery expert. These guys are very knowledgeable in the products that they sell, and they can get you what you want, when you want it, whether it's a truck battery, whether it's a special battery for like a rangefinder or trail camera batteries, any type of battery, these guys are able to get it for you. So stop into a Interstate Battery retail location, talk with a specialist, or if you want to learn about the culture, the company of Interstate Batteries, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. And this is episode one. Today on the show, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Andy and Micah, and we'll be talking about the 2020 elk season in Missouri. We'll talk about some general guidelines that we've got from the Department of Conservation, our experiences elk hunting, and go down a few rabbit holes for you all. So enjoy the show. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Today we got an awesome show, don't we guys?
Episode one.
Got Andy and Micah here again, and episode one is about Missouri elk season.
Missouri elk.
Can y'all believe that?
In all my years. Never would have thought we'd be able to hunt them.
Yeah, I mean.
Here in our home state.
Chances aren't great, right? But
no, but hey, it's a chance.
Who thought at one point in time that someday either us or our children would have a chance to hunt elk in this state?
I mean, we spend a lot of money every year to travel out of state to hunt those. So the fact that now there's a slim chance, I mean, yeah, it's slim, but hey, I'll take it.
None.
It's not none. That's right.
Although in this room, raise your hand if you've already applied in this state.
Definitely.
Micah, you got your hand up, Nate.
I'm glad they can see hands. Right?
That's what I'm telling the people.
Okay. I mean, I did that as soon as they opened that
May,
up. Pretty
May 1st,
much.
Right?
I haven't done that.
Nah, yet. You'll get it done. But so this episode, we're just kind of going to talk about the new Missouri elk season. I'll give you some of the basic information. We'll talk about what we love about elk hunting. And hopefully, our next episode, I'll have a biologist on from the Missouri Department of Conservation to talk about our elk herd, some of the scientific stuff about them. But today, we're just going to talk about the basics.
You know, the actual facts that we don't know.
Yeah. Facts.
We're all just BSing right now.
And that what this whole thing is, right?
That's what it's all about.
All right, so I thought first I'd read this press release from the Department of Conservation. So it'll be a little bit long, but I think it'll give some people who don't know about the new season some good information. We'll talk about a little bit about what some of this means after I read it. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but a good portion. So Missouri's first pending elk hunt comes after years of restoration efforts of the once native species by MDC. Numerous partners, including the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, those guys are awesome, and many supporters, including local communities and landowners. For the first elk season, MDC has designated a 9-day archery portion that'll run October 17 to 25, and a 9-day firearms portion that will run December 12 to 20. The 5 permits will be for bull elk only and will be valid for both portions. All permits will be assigned through a random lottery drawing. The timing of the season was designated to come after the peak of elk breeding during late September and early October, and to avoid the elk season coinciding with portions of the firearm deer season, which we know is crazy in the state, right?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Good old Orange Army.
Yep. Explained MDC elk and deer biologist Aaron Hildreth, who we hope to have on the show soon. MDC will require a $10 application fee for those applying for the general permits, and then qualifying landowners will not be required to pay the $10 application fee when applying for the landowner permit. Those selected for each of the five permits will then pay a $50 permit fee. So I guess if you get drawn,
$60
it'll be $60, which is
first of all, yeah, for those who don't know, I mean, we go out, like we said on the first podcast, we go out every year to Colorado. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I can't remember. But
$720 bucks when it's said and done.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's how you pay for everything, habitat stamp, all that good stuff out in Colorado. And they're one of the cheaper states, I believe.
They are.
Yeah. You know, it's $700+ to go on out of state.
Yeah. And that's just your tag. I mean, that's not everything else.
That's
not equipment. That's not gear.
Yep.
You're talking a chance to do it for $60, though, basically. $10 plus your $50 if you get drawn. Yeah. And you don't have to have all the equipment, all the different stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. And then I'll continue on here a little here, and then we'll get more into it. MDC will limit the random lottery to one application per person per year with a 10-year sit-out period for those drawn for a general permit before they may apply again. So if you do get drawn this year,
you better be all in.
You're sitting out, right? So you better go those 9 days or whatever you get drawn for.
I mean,
so
you're definitely going to take your vacation.
Right.
You might have to give up deer season that year to, at least to do it, but I mean – yeah, I'm going all in for sure.
If selected for a landowner elk permit, qualifying landowners will not be required to wait 10 years before again applying for a landowner elk permit. Qualifying landowners may apply only each year for a general elk hunting permit and for a landowner elk permit, but are eligible to receive only one permit annually. The landowner elk permit is limited to resident landowners with at least 20 acres within the landowner elk hunting zone of Carter, Reynolds, and Shannon counties. Zone boundaries are shown in the application. The landowner permit is non-transferable and may only be filled on the landowner's property. And then there's some more information. Go ahead.
No, that's very good information.
Yeah, and like I said, for more information, I just wanted to give you all some basic info there. Go to mdc.mo.gov, Department of Conservation's website. And they've got some information about how to apply. Micah, you applied through the Mo Hunting app.
I mean, I would think most residents now, but you can actually get your Missouri, I think it's called Mo Hunt. Let me check real quick. Yeah, Mo Hunting app. And you can get all your tags right there on the app. What it'll do is you go into the app, you hit buy permits, and you can buy them right there. It sends you off to the link to do it all or whatever. And then that way, you know, you have everything right there on your phone, which everybody carries their phone nowadays.
Yeah, that's.
But yeah, so I went in there, put buy permit, and then go scrolled through, and it said elk or whatever the wording was.
Yeah,
put in my info, and
pretty easy.
Yeah, real easy.
Yeah, that's all I use anymore is that Mo Hunting app for all my tags and.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's real simple to use. So yeah, I mean that's the basic information. I think the drawing is going to be.
Yeah, does it say when you'll know?
Applicants can check to see if they have been selected for an elk hunting permit online starting July 1st.
So that's pretty quick,
yeah.
Really.
There's a website you go to, and then you log in to manage your account. There's some other stuff you got to do to find out if you got drawn, but it'll be pretty easy. I mean, like I said.
I wonder if we'll be able to see who actually draws the tags or if it's going to be
if they'll publicize it.
If they do.
We got to talk to those people.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, that'd be cool, yeah.
Either before or after their hunt, see how it went.
Have you guys been looking? I mean, I don't know, but, you know, on Facebook, NBC always, you know, puts their little thing, hey, elk season's going to start, blah, blah, blah. And then you get on to the comments, and everybody's like, oh, yep, those tags are already spoken for. They're always going to go to these people,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. I mean, who knows?
Who knows, but, hey, I'm putting my name in the hat.
I mean, I'm hoping – one of us get it, but if not, I'd sure like to talk to the people that do get it.
Oh, that'd be cool. Absolutely. Just to see, you know, what their experience was like.
Yeah.
If it's after they've hunted, you know, see what their experience was like. How
what kind
was
of
the
tactics
hunting
they used?
I mean,
I'll be
everybody
awesome.
Watches hunting shows and tactics are going to be a lot different. I'm sure.
And we're not down in that area. I'd be curious to talk to even somebody down there. Do they bugle? I mean, they've been
right
down there for a while. I mean,
You would think so.
Are they vocal elk? I mean, because you go to, I mean, again, not to keep off on Colorado, go to other states in general, and there's some herds that are very, you know, vocal. You miss the rut by, I guess you call it the rut. I don't, you miss it by a week. I mean, it determines sometimes if they're vocal, not vocal. So,
even within the same state, I mean, I'm sure parts of Colorado where, you know, we are going right now currently elk hunting, we're going to a DIY over the counter, you know, tags
public,
zone,
public land, and anybody on your brother can go.
And we typically go early, so the elk aren't usually very vocal.
No, you might get one or two at the first day or so, but usually after 3 days they shut up.
And then like last year there was so much pressure that they wouldn't have been doing anything anyway. Yeah. So
I mean you got to think this herd been here since 2011. I don't know what type of generation that has. Like if the first generation that was here, if they've died off or not. But
talking about 9 years, I mean,
I know elk usually they can get up into that 10-12 year mark, but I mean, they don't know pressure like deer know pressure, they don't have hunting pressure yet. So, I'm wondering if it's going to be. I mean, I doubt it's like shooting fish in a barrel or anything, but
I hope not.
I mean, if you think about it, they've never had hunting pressure on them, so. It might be a situation where they might be really vocal, and it might be I'm not going to call it an easy hunt, but it might not be as bad as you think.
Yeah.
Right. And then the guys that get it the next year are screwed because they're like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Now I know what's going on. Yeah.
Did I tell you guys, I think it was last summer, I was down south working, and I was driving on, I think it's 60 Highway in between southeast Missouri and Springfield. Mm-hmm. And one of the spots that they reintroduced them was a place called Peck Ranch.
Well, that's the main one, ain't it? I mean, that is
there's
ranch.
There's another one. I can't remember everything, but yeah. So Peck Ranch, and I had time to kill. I was just driving to Springfield just to stay the night that night in Springfield. And so I'm like, I'm going to go to Peck Ranch. And I drove through there and saw a herd of elk. Mm-hmm. I mean, in middle of summer, so. But just to see those animals in my state. And Peck Ranch is so much different than where we're at up here. I mean,
right. You know, I haven't been
it's through not,
it. But.
It's not Colorado.
Right.
But, you know, it's rolling hills and, you know, it's some terrain. You're not going to walk out and, you know, just wear some slippers and go hunting, you know, that sort of stuff. So
you have to put in the work.
You know, they.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I think the elevation's, you know, only around 1,000 feet down there or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so it's definitely not up in the 10, 11,000 feet range that we're going out there. But, you know, I'm curious how different the hunting will be,
right,
from what we are currently doing out west to if one of us somehow got lucky enough to get that here.
Yeah.
You know, like we said, will they respond to bugles? Will they take off? Do they even bugle that much?
Yeah. Do they even care if they? I mean, because how close were you? Did you just drive by and they were in a field or something?
I just drove. They were right in a field, and I drove by with the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stopped and watched them for a minute.
I wonder what kind of – did anybody happen to look what kind of access Peck Ranch – Peck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like I wonder – I mean, because where we – I mean, where we go in Colorado, we take our quads on some places just to get further up in there to get more access. I don't know.
Well, Peck like right,
but
I, mean, I know –
you can't hunt Peck Ranch, but you have – if I read that right in an article, but you – I mean, the public land surrounding it basically is available.
Yeah, and like I said, we don't know a lot. We're hoping to have somebody on with the Department of Conservation to to get some more information, hopefully this next episode, just about, you know, the science behind these things, about the animals, all that stuff. You know, how it's going to go. But, you know, it sounds like, you know, five lucky people are going to get the opportunity to hunt these things. And dude, that'd be so sweet.
Oh man. Are you buying your tag right now?
So actually, yeah.
Yeah, Andy's on his phone.
Once you told me you could do it on the app, I literally just started, and honestly, I am now done. So I don't know how long that took me, and I have one bar of service down here, so it took me a little bit.
I mean, I was just starting to get mad at you for disappearing on me, so it didn't take you too long.
No, I honestly know it was a little quiet there, but literally you told me, I just pulled up the app, and that's how, 5 minutes?
Not even that, dude.
How many deer hunters do we have in Missouri? Like, Could you figure out how many tags the state of Missouri sells?
I bet I could.
Well,
find
I just
want
to know what the odds are of actually.
Oh, I bet the odds of winning this lottery are about similar to winning
the
lotteries
or something like that. I'd say it's a little better than that. But honestly, I mean, if I'm one of the first five people, you're 100% right. I'm shutting down. I mean, those 9 days for archery. And then you get the gun portion as
yeah,
well.
December 12 yeah, you can to do 20. Both.
So if I don't get one in that 9 portion, I'm shutting down December. Too. I mean,
you got 18 days to get it done, pretty much. Yep. I mean, which I think that's great because, I mean, this first year, it's kind of – I mean, I'm assuming it's kind of a trial and error thing. I don't know if they're going to up it next year to maybe 10 people or what, but I like that you don't have to get drawn for both of them. You get one, you can either do it with your bow or with your rifle or both.
Or both
you
if
know,
you didn't get
– you get the opportunity to get it done. So that's cool.
That's the big thing right there.
It's not open to like out of state applications.
No, it's just resident only, which is great. I mean, no offense towards those other guys. Come hunt our whitetail all you want, but we'll keep our elk for right now.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing is you said it, Micah, the opportunity.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean that's crazy to me that when I remember them introducing the elk, you know, back about 10 years ago, I'm like, yeah, okay.
But yeah, it's not going to happen in my lifetime.
I thought in my lifetime we're never going to get to hunt them.
Yeah.
And now, you know, 9 years later, I think they said they introduced them in 11.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, look at like Kentucky and Michigan. They've done the same thing, I believe.
Yep.
And Kentucky, they're growing their permits. I don't know how many they're up to now, but I think their first year they had a very limited, and now they're getting pretty aggressive on it. I don't know my facts again, but I'd have to look to see.
Well, I think what's cool about it for me is elk were native to Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, they got hunted to extinction in the 1800s, and so that is what I think is cool is they're an animal that should be here,
right?
And they're back, and you know.
Well, I mean,
they just say mountain lions should be here too, but I really don't.
Doesn't bear season? Aren't we having our first bear season this year?
Yeah, from what I hear, like I said, we hope to do an episode on that at some point. Yeah. We've heard about bear hunting, and
double check.
Nobody take us our word on it right now because I haven't done any research yet, but I've heard, you know, bear at some point too.
I was at one of my customers' house the other day, and his I think it was his son-in-law or something like that, he actually works for the Missouri Conservation down south, and he showed me, and he's in charge of tagging all the bears in Missouri or whatever, and he showed me a picture of this one. I mean, this thing was huge. Like you when you think of like an Arkansas bear or something like that, you don't think of a very big bear. This thing had a head on him. I mean, it was huge. Very surprising. Very surprising. So, I mean, that's going to be pretty cool whenever we can hunt them too.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
And they're moving farther north. I mean,
yeah.
We're located up here in Lafayette County. I mean, so that's –
for y'all that don't know, Lafayette County is kind of like west central Missouri.
Right.
Yeah.
About 30 minutes east of Kansas City, pretty much.
Yeah, 30 minutes to an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
Depending on what part of the county, I guess.
And then, I mean, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. No, more opportunities coming every day.
So let me ask you this. I mean, you can read on Facebook groups, whatever, like some people, even out in the western states, will stand hunt, you know, deer stand hunt, hang a stand and hunt elk that way.
Yep.
Is that an effective way, you think, in Missouri? I mean, is that some place you go on this public ground out there, you hang a stand, find some trails, hang a stand?
I mean, deer, I would think if you can get a pattern on them, why not?
And they say western elk aren't, you know, as patternable as –
Right, but I would think that
– whitetail, but given the environment and things, I would think it's possible.
I mean, I think they're not as patternable because their range is so big.
Right.
I mean, is an elk – does an elk have a pattern? Yeah.
True.
In general, until a rut happens, and then we all know what happens then. But, I mean, you're talking about an animal that in one day can travel
30-something miles,
you know,
I think.
Like it's nothing. And I know a whitetail can do that similar, but they tend not to.
Stick to a pattern.
Well, they have to have a pattern because you talk about – or you watch like the Hushing Group, and they, you know, they go shed hunting out and stuff west, and they find like the fire bull was huge for them, and that had an area, if I'm not mistaken, I could be completely wrong, they'll call me a liar, but he hunted an area for that bull for a few years before he got him.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you could pattern them, and like you were saying earlier, Micah – they might not have much pressure, obviously.
Right, they don't have
Missouri.
The pressure that, I mean, you go out west, a lot of those places, they're getting pressure. I mean, there's hunters everywhere. I mean, so.
And I know people hunt them out of stands.
Right. I mean, I've seen it.
For me, it'd be so weird to hunt. I mean, just because of the elk hunting we do. That'd be right. so weird to hunt an elk out of a tree stand.
It'd be different. I think I would go with the spot and stalk method if it was up to me.
I mean, I think that's what I love about elk hunting so much is it's different than whitetail hunting for us. Right now, the elk hunting that we go do, like I said, there's all kinds of different hunting out there. But the elk hunting we go do is in pressured public land in Colorado right now. And we are on our feet.
I've called in more people than I've called in elk.
we should feel proud about doing that. What's that called again?
Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie. You know, which we're not really, we're not like bugling them in, but hey, it's cool that they think we're cows. But so out there, it's just, it's different. You're working hard. I'm a short dude. I'm climbing over all this deadfall. And by the end of it, I want to kill myself. You know,
Missouri wouldn't have all that deadfall.
Maybe. I don't know. Could.
Oh, there's no way.
It's not going to have the big giant pines and stuff falling, but.
Terrain-wise, it's definitely easier terrain.
But I would feel like it would be weird sitting down.
Ozark Mountains, though, too. That's different. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But.
I'd like to find out. I'm telling you that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Sign me up. Actually, I just signed up in 5 minutes on the app.
But I would find,
you can, too.
It just, I would maybe feel
actually
weird.
I don't want it.
Yeah, never mind.
Nobody else sign up. It's just the three of us.
It takes at least 4 to 5 hours you need to set aside of your day. And joking. I'm joking.
Now we're giving misinformation out. We're sorry, folks.
Fake news.
For me, it would feel weird just sitting still for an elk, just because of how we've hunted so far.
Yeah.
But, sure, I'd try it.
Essentially, that's what it is. It's just like deer hunting. So, we'll just have to see. Like I said, it's just going to be – it's so different. Nobody's done it in so many years that we're just going to have to – hopefully we get to hear
somebody. I'm guessing our herd's different. I know they're the same. They're Rocky species, Mountain elk, but they're still unique now because their family group is what it is. They're not traveling over to Kentucky or anywhere else at the moment.
You think about it. You touched on it. Their area that they have to travel in the western states is huge. You give them Missouri, and they're not restricted, but you have more highways, more cities, more. They have tens of thousands of acres where they run into anything. Here, you don't have that. So are they going to stay in more of a confined spot?
Right.
I'm curious how, like I said, hopefully this next episode we get to talk to a guy that's much smarter than we are about elk, but
doesn't take much.
No. I'm curious how they'll migrate in this state.
Yeah.
Like where we're at, down south where they are, there's a lot less highways, a lot less people, a lot more timber, a lot more land.
Right.
Where we are much more farm ground up here. Obviously to our west is Kansas City. And so there's people, more people out there. Where we are is obviously less populated, but there's still towns. Mm-hmm. There's more highways, less timber because we have a lot of farm ground, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So will they ever make it, up here?
You've heard of being spotted up in Caldwell County, which is north. It's two counties north where we are now, but that's a far and few between.
I think that was a farm situation, though, right?
I think a lot of those ones that you see up north, I think they do get. And who knows if they're true, but we always hear where I hunt up north, one of the farms,
tall tales.
you hear those, sitting around the morning coffee table with all the farmers and stuff. Oh, yeah, so-and-so, he shot a bull elk right down the road, last year. MDC just came and took the antlers, and that was it. Didn't say nothing about it, blah, blah, blah. Who knows if it's true or not.
That's going to be it.
I shot Sasquatch one time.
Right. You don't know. And so, but I do think that a lot of those ones that you see online or whatever, I do feel like they probably get out of those high fence areas.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely around. They're definitely around up there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But
yeah, I know there's, some farms out there and things like that raise them. So,
right.
You would think eventually livestock's going to get out somehow.
Yeah, cow gets out.
Yeah.
It happens. But, and I believe, didn't you say that they're only going to allow the herd to get up to, 500?
Yeah, on this.
Their goal is 500.
Goal is 500. Yeah. Because, and we talked a little bit about the podcast started, but I would think the northern Missouri, and once you get up into those crop grounds, I would think they'd get a lot more pushback from the farmers. Because, I would assume that a herd of elk going through your corn is probably going to do a lot of damage, more than a herd of deer would.
I would assume so. But I don't know.
But I mean, and that's something that we can talk to him about is why are they putting a cap of 500 on it, or you know, their goal,
right?
You know, and not just letting them go.
For well, I'm sure there's science behind it, and,
right?
You know,
right.
They're
one of the minimum of 200, I think. And like
yeah, what do we got? 250 yeah. or 230, something like that. I can't remember the exact number of what we got right now, but.
And maybe it's a deal where, you know, over 500 for our state isn't sustainable.
Maybe.
You know, once again, this would be cool to talk to him because think of all these questions we're thinking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, is 1,000 elk in this state just not sustainable? Will they start getting disease? Will they start, stunt growth because they just the herd's too big and, you know, that sort of stuff, and they just don't have the area to flourish because maybe they just, if they started migrating up north here, they just won't do well potentially. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm far from a scientist.
Yes.
So
yes, you are.
Hey man, come on now, jeez.
You're far from the top shelf. But
that was a short joke, folks. There's the first one, Micah.
It's where they keep the big books.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I don't know. It's exciting though. I mean, we're definitely gonna be talking about it if anything else changes, for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think so? A lot of guys here, if they go archery portion, you know, before I started elk hunting, my bow was set up a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you're talking, you know, five people here, but I changed my setup. Excuse me, my setup from whitetail to elk. I shoot a heavier arrow. I shoot a fixed blade broadhead. Now I know there are people that hunt elk with, you know, expandables, mechanicals.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I wonder if people will change their strategies. I mean, as far as their setups,
I bet you could ask a million people that question. You're going to get a million different answers.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
Me personally, right. I mean, I'm shooting the same setup here as I am in Colorado.
So do I. Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of got a middle of the road setup. I think I'm shooting close to 450 grain arrow with all my setup, and I think I'm pulling back 70 pounds, you know, and right. I think I was getting like 290 speed wise.
That's not bad at all.
I mean,
yeah. So. And, but you learn, I mean,
I think it's all preference.
It's all preference. And then half the time, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? Right.
Right.
Do you want to put a 700 grain arrow through a shoulder?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that would work, but hopefully, or do you want to put
shot place was obvious better.
Right.
You want to put a 450 grain arrow right through the heart.
I mean, that's what I go for. I go for more accuracy than anything.
Right.
You know, you
well,
can.
And that you should. You
yeah.
Should.
I mean, you hear those guys all the time. If you get on any of the bow sites or anything like that, they're always talking about fighting over FOC and different
right.
subjects. And I'm just like, man, if I can hit that X at that yardage, I'm
it should
happy.
Be all right.
Yeah. I'm yeah. happy. I'm happy with that. I mean, I know. I mean, sure, you definitely don't want to be pulling back 30 pounds, but.
Oh, I want to be.
But yeah, I mean, as long as you're hitting that X and you got enough to make a lethal kill, I don't see what the setup matters.
And then, right. you know, like I said, you ask a million people, you get a million different
answers.
And then at the same time, what we just said about shot placement, sometimes you feel like that shot was good. I mean, we've had that happen in Colorado in our group where we
yeah.
feel like that shot was good and we tracked that dang animal for 2 days and never recovered, and you're just like, what happened?
Right.
Was I 3 inches off?
Yeah.
And so I only hit one lung.
And that's where I'm, that, you know, I agree with the X. You have to hit, you know, the most consistent, the accurate as possible. I'm up around 550 grains, I think.
You're also 87 foot tall.
Yeah, give or take.
Everybody listening, Andy's about, what, like 7'3"?
I'm only 6'5".
Only 6'5". Has a 37-inch draw. What is it, 32?
31 and a half.
31 and a
half? All right. It's hard to
find bows.
So if
anybody bows. Has any – oh, yeah, and make it left-handed.
Yeah,
and
left-handed.
Yeah.
So if you guys know any left-handed bows – no, just kidding. I don't know. I just find it interesting. Everybody's different opinions on that type of stuff.
But you're saying what, you're like 550
grains? 550
grains.
I went to a – I was shooting expandables, went to a fixed blade.
For elk.
For well, I now I shoot them all around. So I guess
you're shooting NAP dirt nap.
Dirt naps,
yeah.
I really like the dirt nap alphas.
I'm gonna go to those this year.
Stainless steel.
I'm gonna switch.
Try them out.
Yeah, I'm gonna switch, man. I like them.
I've shot.
Have you shot them, Micah?
I've seen him shoot his.
I'll be honest, I've shot two coyotes and a two deer with the same broadhead and haven't sharpened it, having nothing, and pass throughs on all of them, which coyotes aren't don't take much.
Yeah, they don't take much to kill a coyote. But
I'm a dude that like does not like change. Like once I find something, I stick with it.
Right.
And like I would like to try those, but I've had so much luck with my slick tricks.
The thing I don't
those are nice. I do like slick tricks.
I like slick tricks too, and that's what I shoot now. But the thing I don't like about slick tricks, I just feel like my blood trail is not that prominent. Good.
Yeah, but when it's 40 yards away, no big deal. Right? I'm just kidding.
Well, that's what you go for every time, but right. I mean, still. I mean,
it's a smaller cutting surface for sure, right? I mean, it's what slick trick standards are an inch.
Inch and a quarter, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to let a little bit more blood out of the bag whenever I'm cutting.
Those dirt naps y'all are talking about, are they four blade?
No,
they're two blade with a bleeder.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So they're beveled. Are they beveled edge?
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean they're gonna tear it up. They're gonna rip through it. So now that we're kind of talking about that, but you get into the rifle portion, do you think that they'll put a deal on their rifle?
Yeah,
if you think about it, a lot of people around here they shoot their 30-30s. I mean, are they gonna let
243s?
243? You know, are they gonna put
honestly 243 is a sufficient elk round in my
probably,
opinion.
But I mean,
but you get to like anything smaller. 20, yeah. There's some people using 22-250s. I mean,
5.56. I mean. Yeah. People using ARs to hunt.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as long as it's a center fire rifle, right? You can do it in Missouri. So
technically, I mean,
that's a good question. Like, are they going to put, and they haven't, as far as I know, they haven't said anything. Are they going to say, you know, only this caliber or larger?
Right. I mean, I shoot a 270, so I know I'd be good.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that shoot a lot smaller caliber. And I mean, personally, I wouldn't think you'd want to go with a smaller caliber when it comes to elk. I mean, they are tough.
I don't think I'd go anything smaller than 243.
No, I mean, that is a tough animal.
I mean, we've seen deer
do
some amazing stuff as far as toughness, and you're talking about an animal that is...
Yeah, if you hit the shoulder in that thing...
At least twice as big.
Right. Again, shot placement's obviously key, but it's one of those things you want to give yourself enough room for margin of error there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
and if you're only one of five people... I'm bringing a big stick.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I don't want to have to recover that animal any farther than I have to.
Yeah, and I mean, I know some states, if you shoot and you get blood, your tags, that's it.
I don't know if they've addressed that either.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's a good question. We don't have those facts, but maybe that he can answer that. But I mean, yeah, some states you draw blood and you're done.
No recovery.
Yeah.
That's you punch your tag.
Yeah,
I mean,
whatever your personal ethics are aside, I mean, that's important rules to know. Obviously, I mean, some people. In different states, even if it's not the rule, that's how they play. Me personally, if I believe it's if it's a kill and I didn't recover it, then I'm probably going to be done. But if I think that animal survived, you know, to best of my judgment.
Yeah. Right. I think a lot of people, I mean, once again, you have different views on it, but I would say I'm similar. I mean, every situation is going to be different.
It is.
Even with you saying what you just said.
Right.
Right. So, like if I'm out hunting and there's a shot that I think I was fatal, I've done everything I possibly can to recover that animal.
Right.
And it's not happening. And I thought it was fatal. And then the evidence from the time of the shot to the end tells me it's probably fatal. I'm punching that tag.
Right.
But, you know, that situation could be different the next year where, you know, it's just hard to lump everything into one deal. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, that deer I had last year that you helped me with,
yeah.
I mean, I thought it was fatal and I mean, we got lucky and found him.
And it was just the time frame wise.
Right. But he was still alive when you found him.
Unfortunately.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you had to do what you had to do to put him down, but, and nobody wants that, but
no.
I mean, that's just,
no,
that's just part of hunting.
That's hunting sometimes.
Yeah. That's hunting.
But in the same aspect. Okay. So I'm one of, you know, this year, one of five people potentially, if I get, you know, if whoever gets drawn, you're one of five people and you cannot go back for 10 years now.
Yeah.
I'm not shooting a 243. I can tell you that. I mean, even though I think it's a good round, I'm probably going to shoot a 7 mag, something bigger that I know has got some
something
punch
that
to
can
it.
Go through that shoulder. That's the
Has
only
anybody
thing.
Rigged up like a arrow that will fly with a stick of dynamite on it?
So I don't want to do that because they taste.
Then you ruin all the
they taste
they're
way
oh my
too
gosh,
good to be messing up that meat.
That is the hardest thing to cook. in my opinion. You know, the last time we went to your house last year?
The elk burgers?
The elk
they're
burgers.
So lean. They're leaner than you think.
They look like they're not really cooked.
Yeah.
And then, but they're done. And, they're oh, good. My gosh, so they're good.
You got to cook. I mean, I've just determined, and this is just after just messing around with it, anytime I cook lean meat or, you know, game meat, I always cook it rare. It's got to be rare. The burgers, sure everything.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you went too much further than that, you're just going to ruin it.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people, they lose a lot of their flavor just by overcooking it because they're used to cooking beef.
Well, and
like
that's
you
me.
Gotta, yeah.
Half the time I'm used to looking at my beef.
And your sister.
I'm better. I'm better.
It's ridiculous how much y'all cook steak. Like, you're supposed to be able to see a little pink, a little red in there. I want that thing charcoaled. I'm like, what? I'm like, no, that's not right.
Yeah, so, see, I've evolved. In my age.
What, are you doing medium well now?
I'm a medium guy now.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's better than nothing.
And I'm getting better on cooking them. That's the thing is I used to just, I'd wait too long. I thought, oh, I'm almost done. And then 3 minutes later, it's well late. Done, you're finished.
Yeah, so you got to take it off. Like, before you think it's done, you take it off before that. Because it's going to continue to cook after that.
Yeah, and I think that's where
this is Cooking with Micah 101.
I just found a new podcast or a new episode.
Yeah,
that's where I erred on the game is you treat it like beef, and so you're like, oh, it's still pink. I've still got some time. It's always gonna be,
yeah,
you know,
no, you
that
gotta,
color.
You gotta cook
just
it.
Tenderness
rare.
In there still.
Yeah, but no, it is by elk is by far my favorite game meat out there.
It doesn't have the gaminess
of
the whitetail. That's what's amazing.
No,
it's like,
you know,
a combination of whitetail and beef, in my opinion.
No, it's great. It's by far.
Speaking of the meat, though, you know what would be awesome about Missouri? I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to be difficult, but I know it won't be as hard to pack out quarters out of this state as it is.
See, I don't know, man. How far are we going back in there? I mean, you say you see them by the road, but I don't know what.
I don't care where I'm going, dude. I'm not at 12,000 feet.
And I agree with you.
Breathe, yeah.
I agree. At least breathe. We've all packed out. Deer, or, you know, packed out deer and elk and stuff like that, but I don't know.
How far you think we packed our elk out 2 years ago or whenever it was?
Russell's?
Yeah.
It was only a mile.
About a mile?
It was a mile.
Yep.
The worst mile of your life.
Oh, it was a great mile.
Oh, you missed out on that one.
That was a great
mile. You had it worse. I'm pretty sure you guys had it worse.
We were a little farther than that, and we were back in there a ways on Pat's that we went.
Oh, you mean the guy that hunted for 2 hours?
Yeah, the guy, his first trip.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of him. It's not even funny.
He had that beginner's luck.
Y'all will probably hear him on the show, I'm guessing, at some point.
Yeah, we'll get him
on here. He'll be a guest host.
But no, I mean, it's by far the worst fun you will ever have packing out an animal like that.
Yeah, you've never been so unhappy and happy all at the same time. You know, you're...
Oh, absolutely. You're excited, but you're dreading the walk. And
oh, you hate your life. You hate your life, but
you feel like you're going to fall down every time you take a step.
Yeah. What do you think an average quarter, I mean, say rear quarter would weigh? 50 pounds?
Man, I can't even guess.
I'm horrible at that stuff. I mean, on a big bull, you're probably looking
that's
at
true,
80 pounds.
Yeah.
80 pounds on a rear. But that's another thing.
I had the rear and a front on there. Mm-hmm. I bet it was probably 80 pounds with both of those on there. And that was all. I'm 6'5", 240 pounds. That was about all I wanted on that.
Yeah. Right. No, Russell's bull was smaller, but I had a rear and a front quarter.
Yeah, you had a rear.
And, yeah.
Yeah,
I had the same then.
Yeah.
He has a lower center of gravity than I do.
I do. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And he's 6'5". I'm 5'7".
They also got their packs. They got those high-dollar packs. We just got
There ain't nothing like an XO pack, I'll say, though. But, hey, you rocking an Alps.
Both of me and Micah, actually.
Missouri-based right there.
I'll be honest with you. Those Alps pack.
No, it was awesome.
For the price of the Alps compared, no offense to the XO, they're amazing packs.
I'd run an Alps in a heartbeat if
they're
I didn't.
They're Missouri-made packs that pack. I mean, it worked just the same as the XO and –
yeah.
Did the job. It was awesome.
No,
so
I'd rock an Alps
I
in
love
a heartbeat.
Alps pack.
Yeah, so whoever does get those tags and you do get an elk, make sure that before you do that, make sure you definitely have a good pack because it you think you
matters.
Just, yeah.
Maybe they
if
can
you're
get
just
a game
a deer,
cart in there.
Hey, remember, maybe you could, but I remember my first year in Colorado, I had a Tenzing, just like a deer hunting bag. And looking back now, I'm like, what the hell would I have done?
I had a backpack. Like, I was going to school.
It was a backpack, yeah. Like, what the hell would I have done if I killed something?
I was going to be bear hugging an elk, stumbling down the mountain.
Are you going to, like, make 18 trips up there? And
I mean,
so I would definitely, that's a good point, Micah. Like, yeah, definitely, if any of the five people that get the tag for some reason listen to our show,
you need to get. Nate's offering to help pack it out.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I would.
Oh, yeah. I'd do it. I'd do it. I'd be like, hey, you give me a podcast out of the deal.
That's his.
If they allow it and any of you guys get the tag, I'm going with.
Well, I would assume you could. You can film.
I would assume they could.
There's going to be one guy with a bow, about 10 people scattered behind him. I see it now.
Well, you know, you hear, like, all those guys out west always get those, like, really sought-after sheep tags and stuff like that and goats. Yeah. And they do. They take a huge – I mean, they take one group of, like, 10 guys to go out there and spot them up and
entourage.
Do all that. Yeah. I mean, that takes some dedication. You got to be really good friends with a buddy to know that you got to walk 20 miles up a mountain to just watch me shoot it.
But that's a good point. What would you recommend people get? I mean, a pack would be really high on the list. You need to get a good pack to be able to pack out some meat.
And it depends on
the style
it's
gonna
of
happen.
Hunting you're going to do. If you're going to do spot and stalk, you need good boots. I mean, that'd be my second thing. If you're going to, deer stand hunt it, that's a different that's a different ball game.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest – you know, rubber boots. I mean, the mucks and stuff like, you know, lacrosse. A lot of Missouri, that's what a lot of guys in Missouri, they use. But I would definitely, if you got some just
hiking boots.
Right, hiking boots. I don't think you got to go the extreme like a lot of the guys out west do, but.
Well, I know, like, Russell runs Crispies.
I got Crispies.
You got Crispies. I run a Loa boot.
I run Loa and I run Solomon's too.
Yeah. So my Loa was $150, which is the most money I've ever spent on a pair of footwear in my life.
I'd say Morels. Like, Morels would be good for Missouri. They're breathable.
I would think so. But you definitely need
game bags. Those are important.
Yeah, game bags. You got to be able to keep that meat
safe. You know, if you kill one October 17th or whatever the first date is.
That can be hot.
It can be hot, and you can have flies all over. And a good game bag would be important.
Yeah, you don't want to lose any of that meat. I mean, that's what you're doing it for the most part.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that'd be terrible.
You know, so.
Well, that would suck.
And watch some YouTubes on how to do the gutless method.
Because that's a game changer.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, though, is how many – when Russell got his, I mean, he had a lot of it done. But to have that animal in front of you, we watch video after video. How many times did we watch Elk 101? What's it? Oh, gosh.
Corey Jacobson.
Thank you.
If you want to talk about elk calling, that is a guy you need to go watch his YouTube, and he will show you how.
But don't act like you're going to be as good as him.
Yeah, no, you're not
it's never going to happen. But watch his videos on, you know, how to do the gutless and to cape them and all that. Mm-hmm. And then you get the animal in front of you, and you're just like, duh.
What do I do now?
What do I do
the
now?
The size of them.
Yeah, you're just like, he made it look a lot easier than this really is.
No, definitely need some probably another product that I'm just going to throw out there. And by the way, we're not sponsored by anybody. So
unless they want to give us a call.
Sure, but the Javelina knives.
Those are
we all run those.
Changeable blade
I
knives.
Use those for deer too. I mean, it's amazing. You can just switch those blades out and
I think like the Gerber knife, it's the same blade.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
similar.
Thing. I think
if
the
you
number of the blade, there's a number, it's like 500 or something. I want to say 5A. It's a surgical blade.
But I mean, you can cut up deer with one knife and be fine, but you're doubling that size, if not tripling that size. So you are going to need more blades.
You're
going to
burn
and you can
fixed
pack
blade.
You can pack that entire knife
and extra blades
in your pocket,
and you know, a dozen blades in a 6-inch little
case.
Javelin, I just recognized it, but yeah.
If you're going to use a fixed blade knife, knife sharpener.
Yeah, take a knife
sharpener. You have to have a knife sharpener, or else you won't. I mean, the hide of it, I think, is what really dulls it, is that hair.
Yeah.
It just kills it. But talking about the gutless method, I think a key I messed up on helping Pat. It seemed like once we took the rib meat out, then you could get to that inside loin.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it until after it was too late. We actually ended up having it. It was taking too long. We ended up gutting it and getting everything done because we didn't want to waste any meat.
Right.
But once we did, you took that a couple of those rib meat out in between, and then you could reach in there, grab that loin, and it was like, oh, light bulb.
Yeah.
Missed that.
You know what was crazy with Russell's is how many layers of meat they have on their necks.
That yes,
and the amount of meat in between ribs compared to like a whitetail. Like I remember on Russell's elk, that neck, it's like, oh, there's a layer. Oh, there's more. Mm-hmm. You felt like you were done, and then there's still more meat.
Yeah, neck roast, baby.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'd love to do is take like a Sawzall and actually just cut the rib, like cage out.
And smoke a whole
oh,
rib.
Oh, man.
They got
to
be
smoked
good.
Smoked elk rib. Maybe if someone kills one close enough to the road that they can get in there with a game cart or something. I mean, you think these things are the size of a horse.
We're all sitting here talking about like you should get a pack and pack them out. But, and they're all going to be killed within like 20 feet of a road or something.
Probably.
You watch. But
get that in the back of a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck, right?
Yeah, you're going to need
a I had a hard time with my 250-pound deer 2 years ago at your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing to take lightly because, I mean, it's a job. Yeah. It's a job, that's
yeah,
for sure.
I mean,
I would love to be around when it happens, though.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be – once again, it all circles back to – we are in this state of Missouri talking about elk hunting. This state, you know,
the opportunities.
Every time we've ever talked about elk hunting before, you know, this will be what my fourth or fifth year going out of state. We're talking about our 7 to 10 day opportunity. That's it. Yeah. And I know your opportunity here is only what eight days. So it's 16 days.
That was nine.
Maybe I don't have
to
think.
Nine and nine, so 18 total.
So you're talking about only 18 days, but, you know, you're home, right? I could have swore it was 17.
Maybe you're right.
But in the inside, I mean, we drive. It's honestly, it's like 18. It's 20, what,
yeah,
what, no,
17 to the 25th and 12th to the 20th.
We drive 16 and a half hours, I think, to get to our campsite in Colorado compared to a few hours now to go down.
Yeah, what would that be?
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Four hours?
Well, we leave it like, let's see, we leave right after dinner. The night we leave to Colorado, we drive through the night, get to Colorado the next morning. How long we spend the next day setting up camp.
We get there by lunch the next day.
You know,
yep. Get our bearings about us.
Try not to
get a good sleep in.
Altitude
and then it's
sickness and
it's game
boom.
On.
Now it's and just driving home.
So what do you do here? Do you make that drive every day? Or do you?
No.
I got to maximize my time.
I mean, I'd be getting a hotel. Or I'm sure I know somebody that lives down there.
I'd sleep in my freaking truck if I had to.
Camper, tent. Yeah. I'd stay. I mean, I always use public lands. I imagine there's campsites. You know,
somewhere,
maybe. Here's the thing, though. You don't know you're going to get a tag till July 1st, right? So here's a question for people to think about, and this would include us. We're taking vacation to go to Colorado, we hope. So we're recording this during this COVID stuff, so
We never know for sure.
I guess it's going to be back open, but we're taking vacation for Colorado. Then July 1st, you find out you get drawn for Missouri, and that's what 16 days or whatever that is for Missouri. Some of those are going to be weekends, but you taking the rest of that time off, you know, to go
10 years.
Down
that's all
there.
I got to say is 10 years.
10 years. That's exactly right.
Before you get the next opportunity. So I'll be honest with you.
It's going
to
happen.
You might have to go to Colorado without me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, I'm taking both of them up. I'm going to work. I mean, my job's pretty lenient on stuff, especially this time of year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm going on both, hopefully.
Yeah.
I take that back. I'm married.
Hey,
I'm married with children, so
first.
Definitely going to have to see what the wife says. And more than likely, it's going to be one or the other, now that I think about it.
I think one of the worst decisions my sister thinks she's ever made is allowing you to go on the first elk hunt you ever
went. Well, I mean, I agree with you on that. She definitely hates that. I mean, what was that, 3 years ago? There'll be three.
I think this will be your third year out there with us. I don't remember.
You went 2 years in a row now with us.
Yeah, so this will be my third year going. Yeah. My wife, she planned the first trip and got that all paid up.
It was a surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Christmas present.
Yeah, it was an early Christmas present. I'm an amazing husband, and I deserved it.
This is the last podcast Micah is going to be on.
No, I mean, she did that out of the kindness of her heart, and she hates it now because I'm going every year. It's you know.
I warned her when she was – because so I knew about the present, right? I had to try to help get it set up and get you in the group, right?
Right.
And so I knew about it, and I told her, I said, this isn't going to be a one-year thing. I promise you, he's going to be hooked.
Yeah.
So
I think we're doing it wrong.
What do you mean?
I think they need to come with us.
I'm down for that.
Honestly,
my wife would enjoy the camping, I bet.
I think that would be awesome.
I don't know, the kids, though.
That's
the thing. Having kids, that's hard.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we definitely want
to have a good family system, of course, to be able to have that opportunity. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I think they would have a good time, though. Oh, absolutely. I know Amy would. And we've talked about it because, I mean, she loves the mountains and she wants to go on vacation and stuff. I'm like, let's do it around elk season. We'll hunt while we walk up the mountains. I mean, that's a perfect world right there in my book. But
now Missouri, take them to South Missouri.
Yeah, see, now.
Go Branson.
They could go fishing.
We could take them to the Branson Bell or whatnot. And
there you go.
We'll see you back at night.
That's right. Let them go, you know.
No, I mean, I love hunting with my wife. I mean, I killed one of my biggest bucks with –
Dude, one of my favorite videos of all time is with you and my sister.
That was a good one.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how people can ever see the video, but it's basically.
You have to put it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
We'll put it on the page.
But. So, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, obviously, Micah took my sister hunting, and it was a really muddy day where they were walking.
Well, it's not that it was muddy. It's where we enter in. It's on the backside of a pond dam that has a leak.
Yeah.
So, that place right there is just constantly muddy, constantly. And I mean, I explained this to her. You'll see it in the video, but yeah. And so she ends up, I told her, I was like,
just follow me,
you gotta walk around this way, this is dry, no big deal. Nope, your bullheaded sister, she decided to go her own way, and you know it, she got stuck and you know it was a good time. I had some fun with it, but I mean,
It was funny.
But no, that night, I mean, that was the night that I killed my biggest bow kill, anyways. And
yeah.
I mean, she was right there. I mean, it wasn't a giant or nothing like that. But
you got to experience that with
her. No, I mean, it was great. And I mean, I went into that hunt thinking, this is going to be a terrible night. I mean, it was hot. I'm pretty sure it was October, if I remember right. But it was stinking hot and didn't have the best wind for it. But we were able to have a sitter that night. My daughter, she was less than a year old. And we were able to have a sitter. We went out there, and I wasn't expecting to see anything. And then I think it was like the last 30 minutes of light. That's when, you know, it broke free. It had does behind us. And then way out in the field, I see a big – he's a 10-pointer. Saw a 10-pointer and did a little grunt calling, and he went into the timber. And I'm like, oh, crap. He either smelled us because he was right downwind of us. But he ended up coming right back out of the timber, and we had some does behind us. And he noticed those does, and he didn't notice us, thank God, because, like I said, they must have been a little bit more potent than we were, because, I mean, he walked right in front of us, and, I mean, 12 yards, double lung, ran 20, dropped.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we talked about in episode 0. That's why we hunt. You think it's going to be a horrible night.
Right.
Boom, all hell breaks loose.
You don't know unless you're out there.
No, I think we all do this, right? Now, elk season, obviously, you get that 16 days or whatever the heck the math is, you're taking all 16, hopefully. With, you know, deer hunting or turkey hunting even, sometimes you try to play it smart. And
you're watching your wind,
you're watching your wind,
pressure,
right.
Your weather, yeah.
All of it. And then you end up going on a day you think is garbage, and there they are.
Yep.
And then you're like, am I stupid or like, right. Why did that happen? You know, but I mean, no doubt smart hunting, I think making, you know, educated guesses.
We have to optimize our time in the woods. If we could live in the woods, I mean, and do it all the time,
right.
We would, but we have other responsibilities and things
right.
to do. So, I mean,
yeah.
We want to optimize our time. So I'm a big believer in barometric pressure changes. I wonder, I mean, if elk react the same way whitetail do, I believe whitetail do that. And another question, Micah said, is a 10-pointer out there. Missouri, most people refer to as deer as 10-point, 8-point.
Not a 4x4, a 6x6.
Western states,
yeah.
Everything's 4x4, 5x5, 6x6, 5x6.
I think even like up in
so what's a Missouri
like Minnesota and stuff, they talk about their deer that way.
You're right.
Stuff
most
like
states
that.
Talk about their deer. I mean,
yeah.
So what's a Missouri elk? Is a Missouri elk a 5x5? Or is
you know what's funny
is
I would probably call it a 5x5 because we go out to Colorado and that's kind of what we call them, right?
So what's the problem? I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
I guess we'll see.
I'd be like, that, because that, of that big ass elk right there.
Shoot it.
Shoot him.
And I think they've got a similar rule here.
I think it's got a 6-inch brow time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is about the same as.
Yeah. Same as, I think, out there.
I thought that was 4.
Well, I read the regulations every year that I get mailed to me, but.
I don't remember from time to
time. Yeah, but there's.
Speaking of which, I got to call them. I haven't requested my mail.
Yeah, same.
And to clarify something else, our wives do not hunt by their own choice. So we have to get permission from our wives. And, you know, they're not participating with us. We're right. Full support of, you know, women hunting and in the outdoors. Ours just happened not to. And
it's just not their deal. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife, she loves to bow. She loves shooting her bow and everything like that. But
mine will go fishing anytime we want to fish. That's for sure.
Right.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're just better than we are. And when we're out playing, they're home taking care of our children. And
yeah, I mean, it's
that sort of
we're
stuff.
We're fortunate to have the wives we do.
They understand what we love to do. I mean, even this podcast, I brought the idea of doing this podcast up to my wife, and she's like, "But why?" And I'm like, "Well, because it's awesome.
it's a passion of ours.
And then you explain, you quit talking to her about it.
She was like, "Okay."
Yeah. So, and I mean, you know, here we are, and you know, they support this sort of stuff that we do, and
yeah,
I mean, that's why we married them.
Yeah,
obviously, you married my sister. She was already awesome. I already knew that, but
I'm not gonna disagree with you there. She is. But I mean, we definitely get in our fights about it, and everybody does. Anybody that's been married and hunts and has a passion for anything, really, they're going to get in a fight.
Oh, especially if you're like, how many times has this happened? I'm not going to hunt this, you know, Thursday or Friday or whatever, right? And then this cold front.
There's a cold front. I gotta go. Like,
hey, but you don't understand. Yeah, I mean,
it's no different than somebody that's addicted to golf or to anything like that. I mean, you want to be doing it over and over again.
I'm pretty sure people that are into golf, which I do golf a little bit, that is a time-sucking game right there. I mean, it was my buddy's birthday last weekend.
You can spend an entire day.
And we went and played 18. We were gone all day. I mean, talk about a time sucker. That one will suck the life out of you.
I think that's why I've never gotten into that game. Just,
I mean, it's fun, but I mean, I'm really bad, really bad at it.
But I mean, so anybody got anything else to add about elk season?
I'm excited.
I'm gonna start shooting my bow now.
No,
you mean you stopped? Believe.
I don't stop.
Well, he just got his setup.
That's true. You did get a new setup.
Got him. What'd you get? A new Athens archery?
I got an Athens Ridge 34. So far, things pretty sweet. Out of the box. I put this one together myself. First time I've ever done it. Kind of made a little homemade bow shop. I'm sure something is not right. But so far, it hasn't flown apart. So something I've wanted to do for a long time.
Have you been grouping yet?
A little bit. Okay. Honestly, I've probably only shot it, I'd say 2 dozen times.
Okay.
Yeah.
With everything going on, haven't had a lot of time to do it. But, I mean, it's so far.
I'm usually – well, and especially now with my bow this year because I just got it restrung, and I'm running a new release. So I'm going to have to re-sight it in, I'm sure.
Yep.
And the release is going to take some time to figure everything out. And I've
shot the idea of thumb release this year. I'm thinking I might use a thumb release. I don't know.
Pat said I could borrow his or use his, try it out. I need to. Didn't go to one just because I've never shot one.
Right.
So I bought a short and sweet by True Ball.
Yeah.
Which gets good reviews and should help me out, but it's just going to be weird because everything's going to be different. So, you know, usually I'm out by now shooting, but.
Well, we do a lot of 3D competitions, and those have been shut down around here.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
we haven't had to do that.
But, I mean, I've still been shooting a little bit. I haven't been shooting as much as I usually do. But, you know, each of us have a little bit of property, and we all got targets out at our house that we can, you know, shoot, thank God. But, I mean, I've been shooting a little bit, but I had a little mishap or whatever. My son knocked my bow off my bow hanger and threw the string off and scratched the cam a little bit, and so I had to borrow a buddy's bow press.
Micah called me crying.
Oh, it broke my heart, man. I mean,
he was crying.
I don't know if I was crying, but I was upset about
in
the situation.
In my version, he was crying.
Yeah, I was definitely upset about the situation. It was a bad day. Like I said, I'm real glad that I was getting my arrows out of the target whenever I look back and I see my son knock my bow off onto concrete, if I wouldn't have been 20 yards away, I don't know what would have happened. It would have been bad.
You know whose fault it was, though?
It was mine.
Was all, especially, you know, your son, man.
No,
my nephew, man, he's into everything.
Oh, he's balls to the wall. He is balls to the wall all the time. But, yeah, so – but I got it fixed finally. So – and I actually started shooting those fobs,
Oh, yeah,
I've been messing around with them. I'm not sold on them yet completely. I mean, they pretty much group the same as my fletchings were. So, I don't know. I'm going to mess with them.
It's just the whole, you know, how much they're going to fly off. And
right. Well, I mean, because when you shoot groups, you can't shoot a group with those. You have to shoot individual X's, we'll call them. Because if you get within fletching, you're breaking them. You're knocking them off. So.
Yeah. Well, folks, this is what we warned you about with rabbit holes.
Yep.
We were talking about elk.
That was a big one.
Yeah. And then now we're talking somehow about our bows and stuff. So we warned you. It's not our fault. But
I just hope whoever gets the elk tag takes the time to practice and makes it as worth it as they possibly
absolutely.
Can.
Absolutely.
I think I hope the people that are applying are serious.
Yes.
And I'm sure they
appreciate
are.
The history of the opportunity they're getting.
Right. This is big.
This is
big,
huge.
I mean,
in our lifetimes, we've never seen it.
Right.
So I'm guessing it hasn't. An elk has not been hunted. I bet we could find out real quick if we wanted
legally.
To. But I bet you money. An elk has not been hunted in this state in hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And now in 2020, five people are going to be lucky enough to get that opportunity.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's
free ranging Missouri elk.
Yep.
Either way, MDC has my $10 for the chance.
Yep. So anyway, join us, you know, the next time. We're hoping to have a Missouri Department of Conservation person on to talk about elk season in a kind of a part two series or whatever you want to call it, about elk. And hopefully we can get that to y'all next week. But until then, we appreciate y'all listening. And we'll talk to y'all later.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. We really appreciate it. If you like our podcast, please go subscribe and give us a 5-star review. You can subscribe several ways. Search our name, Missouri Woods and Water Podcast, on whatever platform you use. Or you can go to the Sportsman's Nation podcast page and find us through there. So we're really excited to be on this network. Also, go give us a follow on Instagram at Missouri Woods and Water, and check us out on our Facebook page, Missouri Woods and Water. And we will try our best to continue to bring you good content. Look forward to episode 2. Have a good one.